keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C., and you're not.
And I'm Grace Duffy, and this is the show that keeps you up to date on the world of social media and more. On today's show, we have the brilliant Colin Gray joining us again. Last time was at Podcast Movement, and this time we're all in our various home studios, home offices. Last time we spoke, we covered his thoughts on, very briefly covered his thoughts on podcasting networks, live video podcasts, and community. And this is all fresh from the conference floor, fresh from the sessions. So we've invited him back today to discuss actionable strategies on how to start, rock, and keep growing your own successful podcast. We're going to talk about staying consistent and staying compelling, monetization, and SEO.
So if you guys don't know Colin, let me give you another introduction. I know Grace kind of talked to him a little bit, but he is a podcaster. He's an international speaker. He's a PhD and the CEO and the founder of The Podcast Host, a huge audio, video, and written resource on how to create a successful show, and Altu, a podcast maker tool designed to help you create your podcast in the easiest way possible. Colin started in astrophysics before realizing how much math you had to do. It turns out podcasting requires less math and more interesting puzzles. So he's been podcasting since 2007. He's one of the old school podcasters, and he aims to help everyone to get their voice heard too. And one of his mini shows is the PodCraft Podcast, which teaches the entire art of podcasting from launching your own show and creating a legions of fans. And he's also on YouTube at the Podcast Host. And so, you know, all the good tutorials over there. It's really amazing. And so you want to check him out everywhere on all the socials, because he is a deep dive into podcasting. If you're ever struggling with that or want to learn more, he's your man.
Absolutely. So, Colin, tell us about Altu. And I'm forgive me if I'm saying it incorrectly, but first, I want to know where the name comes from. But then also, what does it do? How do we find it? Give us the whole elevator pitch on this service, because I found your demo. It was really cool. But I want you to explain it to our audience.
Yeah, it was designed as the tool to just make podcasting as easy as possible. It was, you know, the problem we always got, the question we always got from our readers on our site years back was always, how do I make editing easier? People hate editing. Well, there are a few small number of masochists that quite like editing, but most people don't like it. So we built a tool that could do a lot of the automation there. It did all the audio cleanup, adds in your music and your fades. It pieces all the parts together. It has a podcast specific audio editing tool. So it doesn't have all the audio engineering stuff that you don't need that pops up in Audacity and Audition and stuff like that. So that was the idea initially. And then now we've added in call recording, solo recording, and hosting as well, actually. So the idea is that it's just one place to go to make your podcast in the easiest way.
Very, very cool. Yeah. So if you haven't checked that out, you need to do that, because that is that's a lot of hang up, I think, for a lot of people, is like just getting started. The tech can seem overwhelming at first, and I've listened to a lot of Colin's tutorials, and he really does break it down, make it easy for you to understand, because if you're like me, you need that, because you're can give me a little simple. So it's really, really great.
That's the only reason I did it. I need it too.
That's right. So something else that is very easy to use is our sponsor of the show, which is our friends over at Ecamm. You can find out more about them at socialmedianewslive.com/Ecamm. They are actually going to be doing something very, very cool. It is called Leap Into Podcasting, and they're changing it over from Leap Into Live to this Leap Into Podcasting this year. And it's a 2-day interactive virtual summit completely focused on helping you take the leap into video podcasting. It's got an amazing lineup of expert speakers. Grace is going to be there. I'm going to be there. I think, Colin, are you speaking there too? Colin, are you doing a session?
I am indeed, yes. Yes,
that's what I thought. Yeah, so
Colin, what's your session going to be on?
Yeah.
I'm all about 9 ways to cut the time it takes to ship your show. So just how to podcast quicker.
I'm going to have to listen to that one, because I'm all about getting it quicker. So but it's going to be talking about software and, you know, hardware, workflows, like Colin was saying, advertising, best practices, all this stuff. Make sure you guys go to leapintopodcasting.com. It's free. You just need to sign up to it. Just go there to Leap Into Podcasting and register there. Thank you for our friends over at Ecamm. So, yeah, let's see here. Let's see here. David says that would be a great help as well. Yeah. So you need to go to Leap Into Podcasting because, it's going to be an amazing, amazing thing. So let's go ahead and talk about, you know, podcasting. That's what you guys are here for. I want to know in the comments, let us know in the comments down below, wherever you're watching from, what makes you hit subscribe on a podcast? What is it about a podcast that makes you, is it the artwork? You're like, oh, I'm going to watch the show forever. And you click on that. What is it that makes you to click to subscribe? Do you have to listen to 10 shows before you hit subscribe, or do you listen to one and then subscribe? I'd love to know what makes you hit subscribe on a podcast. I'm sure Colin would too, because that's kind of his business. But yeah, so that's what we're going to be talking about this first section. So go ahead, Grace, and take us away.
Absolutely. So we're going to just dive right in here and talk about building a better podcast. So we focused a lot the last couple of weeks, as Jeff mentioned, on podcasting. And we've talked a lot about the why, like, why would you use this for driving leads and business, which we'll talk a little bit about more about later, using it to expand your brand. But we are brought Colin here to talk about the how. How do you launch a stellar podcast that keeps people coming back and keeps you, you know, something that you can stick with? We're also going to talk about how you can consistently provide value with each episode. And then we're also going to talk about how to make each episode compelling. So in a interview that you did earlier this year, Colin, you talked about this, your secret sauce, the number one ingredient required for podcasting success, and that is structure. And I'd love for you to give us an introduction into what the structure is. I believe on the show that I was listening to, you introduced it as a four-part structure, but, you know, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, sure. I mean, structure is always a secret weapon, I think, for a bunch of different reasons. It helps with planning. It helps with your kind of mental stress in creating a podcast in the first place, because, you know, there's nothing worse than starting with a blank page. Everyone knows that. Like, you try and sit down and start writing a script or a plan or anything, and if it's a blank page, it's just so difficult to get started. And you can do it, no doubt, because you've done it many times before, but it makes it so much easier if you have a structure to work within. But then equally, I think it makes for much better content for listeners as well. It makes for more compelling content, more engaging content, often more focused content. Like, one of the biggest killers of podcasts, or biggest killers of subscriptions, one of the biggest reasons people unsubscribe from your show is if it's just too full of waffle. There's just too many divergences and too many going off on tangents. And, you know, that can be good sometimes, but, you know, it's not good in many ways. Like, if you can keep it on focus, you're doing much better.
So
here, I want to lose me.
So, and I'm going to follow up with that question a little bit, but I wanted to bring up when we talked about what makes people subscribe, because I think this kind of leads into what you were exactly talking about. Sure. David says what makes him subscribe is quality content and engagement. And then Gary says he's a lifelong learner. If I feel I am learning something, I hit subscribe. So, one of the things, you know, you talked about your formula and your structure and making sure that you don't waffle. And I thought you meant waffles with like maple syrup, but then I realized what you're talking about. Another food reference. Does this formula that you're talking about, does it work for all types of podcasts, like storytelling versus business or interviews? Like, does it work for all those?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So that's always the biggest question. It's around, you know, I often cut it into four parts. I've got the introduction, you've got the theory where you actually teach the thing you're talking about. Then you've got the case study. It's tell a story about that theory, like give some examples about how it works. And then the final one is the tasks and the takeaways. So actually give people something to do with that information. I think that's one of the parts that so many people miss. And that works excellent for teaching shows. But like you say, what about if you're entertainment? What about if you're news? I think it still works really well, because I think it gives you something. Again, it gives you someone to plan within. So if you're designing a 30-minute, 60-minute comedy show, maybe you want to have something like, you know, a audience joke of the week, where you read someone that's been sent in, and then maybe a quick fire quiz after that. And then you can fill in those gaps and they give the audience, you know, something to expect, something to look forward to. You always find people with their favorite segments. you know, I'm looking forward to the audience joke of the week because it's the funniest part or something.
Right.
And it's like, or a news show, like even if you cut a news show down into, you know, you pick one story to go deep on, and then you do 5 minutes of quickfire headlines, and then you have an audience takeaway of the week. Like, here's one news story you can do something with afterwards. Having a structure like that, it gives the audience some familiarity. They get to know it, they get used to it, they build a habit around it, and it gives you a structure within which to build. And the cool thing, like one thing I love about it is the repurposability of it all as well. Like, do you want to jump into that just now as well?
Yeah, go ahead. That'd be great.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you can then take it. So with my four-part structure with the teaching, for example, I often cut that up and I'll publish the introduction on its own. And then I'll publish the theory part on its own. And I'll publish the story on its own. And then I'll publish the takeaways on its own. And if you talk it the right way, you speak it the right way, I should say, and you can do that, you can build a habit around that really easily. Those four things can stand alone quite easily, and they then become my video materials. So I put the whole thing out as a podcast, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it is. But then you can have a 5 or a 10 minute, you know, introduction to a topic on video, and then a 20 minute theory part on video that goes in deep. And then you've got a separate video, which is the story and examples about how this thing works. And that works really nicely on YouTube or on social as an Instagram reel or something like that, as a way to repurpose that podcast in a way that's not just copy and paste from the podcast, but it's kind of smartly repurposing it so that it more suits that video or social medium. So I love how you can do that. And you can do that with any of those formats, like that news breakup, like the going deep on the top story, you could publish that on its own on Instagram Reels and then take the quickfire headlines and put that on YouTube. And, you know, so you can take that podcast, break it up, and it's all becomes your web of content that, you know, captures people in and brings them into your world.
So I'm gonna, that question that I wanted to bring up when you were talking about the repurposing and doing this news stories and stuff, and Grace and I had some experience back with another client that we were working with at the time where we would do Alexa briefs. Is that something that you have experimented with at all? Because that to me would seem like a great place to repurpose content for a podcaster.
A great question. And it's not something I've played with, but it's something I keep thinking about actually. Have you tried it at all? Like, it's not something I've played with, but I think it would work really well.
It was something that I built at the last company we worked at together. I built it, and I'll just say that if I can do it, you can do it. It is the hardest part was for me learning how to edit the audio, which I learned how to do fairly quickly, but of course you are a pro at, but then getting it loaded and getting it, I think I used Libsyn. That was a product we were using at the time to schedule it. So I would just schedule it out with the rest of, like, the same way you would a podcast. So
yeah,
excellent.
I could do it with Alitu as well.
So really quickly, I want to bring up some, we have another OG podcaster in the room, and his avatar doesn't come through. I don't know if I blocked him or what, but it's Lou Mongellison. Good morning, Grace and Jeff. From Lou, he is one of the OG podcasters. He probably started right around the same time as Colin. I mean, you guys have been doing it forever.
Oh yeah, I've seen Lou around for a long time. Yeah, absolutely.
And then Chris Stone says, amazing advice, huge fan of the podcast host, valuable content on all fronts. So
thanks, Chris.
Watching over on LinkedIn. So one of the things that, you know, Lou is a great example of, and you as well, is, you know, consistency. And it's consistency is hard. Like, if you've done this for a while, it's easy to get out of being consistent. Like, you know, one podcast and you're like, you know what? I don't need to do another one, you know, and it kind of like starts snowballs. And we saw a boom in 2020 and 2021 and, you know, podcast audiences diversified, you know, then people went back to work and life. And a lot of these podcasters who started during the pandemic kind of lost enthusiasm and they're kind of been abandoned and now are inactive. Mm-hmm. So how do we stay motivated, Colin, and consistent with our podcasting?
Yeah. I think there's two kind of key parts to this. And I think one of them, we can talk about both, but one of them, the first one, I think you guys are doing really well. We talked about this very briefly before we came on, but it's the people that I see doing podcasting most effectively for the longest are ones that have built an absolute rock solid habit out of when and where they record every single week. Whether it's, you know, I record at 10 a.m. on Monday mornings every single week in this one place and my gear is always set up, or whether it is like I do a batch recording of 4 episodes every first Monday of the month and I spend the whole day doing it and that just goes out like clockwork. I think that is almost the best way to do it. And I think a lot of people, like you guys, have got a live broadcast. That's a great way to do it as well. Commit to doing it live. Like, do you? I presume that you find that makes you stick to it.
Right. It does. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Grace will yell at me. She'll yell at me if I don't. It's like, Jeff, we got to get a host. Come on. Come on. We got to get a guest. Come on. And so I don't want to disappoint Grace. So that's
exactly. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's a big part of it. It's that habit. And people fight against it because they say, well, I can't find a time that suits me every single week. My weeks change. It's inconsistent. But I think, and honestly, I think that's an excuse. I think if it's important to you, you need to find that time. You can always find a time to do something that's important to you if you put a priority on it. So I think that's the big one for sure. The other side's audience, though, I think. Mm.
Yeah, go ahead.
You were going to jump in, Jeff.
No, go ahead. You go about your audience.
Cool. Because that's the thing that keeps me motivated. Like, even if I've got my routine, I'm recording at 10 a.m. on a Monday every single week, you still can feel that you get to that 10 a.m. and you're like, oh, maybe I should do something else. But then what keeps me going often is making sure that on a regular basis, I'm reaching out to the people that listen. Even if there's only a few people interacting, it's those audience members that keep me going. And you can be really constructive about it as well. Like, for example, I think a lot of people ask for feedback from their audience, but they're very general about it. They're like, oh, so at the end of every episode, they're like, get in touch, send me a tweet on Twitter, send me an email to say what you want to hear next. And they leave it at that and they get nothing back. And they're like, oh, nobody's listening. But as soon as they say, instead of just give me some feedback on Twitter, instead they say, let's say it's a car show. They say, right, what 90s car would you love to have in your garage right now? Or, what's the new car that you're most excited about right now? Something really specific. As soon as they do that, even if you've only got 50 listeners, like half of them will get in touch because you've spurred ideas in their head, something very specific, and give them very specific place to put it as well, whether it's a tweet or whether it's an email or whether it's a voicemail. That specificity is so important, I think, to getting that feedback. And to me, that is one of the biggest drivers of motivation and consistency too.
Well, that's great advice. That is really great advice. Speaking of, asking your audience, we have some great questions from our audience, and this is from Calming the Chaos, which is a great name, I think, that we all need sometimes. But what about my 10-to-5 job? So, like, how do you, be consistent if you've got this job and you've got a family and your kids? I mean, we have the luxury that this is kind of our job and that we've done this for such a long time. We've got systems in place. But, like, if you're getting started and you want to do this, what do you tell those people?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I won't lie. It's not tough. I won't say it's not tough, but I think it's still about that routine. It's still about Tuesday evening when you get home, you have your dinner, you know that you're always going to cook dinner for the family. You're going to, get the kids sat down with some books, and then you're going to start recording at 7:30 on that Tuesday evening. I think it's still possible to set a routine around it that way. And sometimes you'll get derailed. Don't beat yourself up about that. But still, if you have that average time that you try to sit down and record every single week, I think that's still a big help.
That's great advice.
And I think it's different for us because we're live. So we have this set live time, but we met a lot of podcasters, and you know many podcasters that batch content. So there's one guy, what is his show? Beyond the Rut, where he does, he was telling me, he's local to me, and he was telling me that he does like 8 episodes in one Sunday because he just backs them up, and it's very difficult, it's very hard, but that's what he does because he has a 9-to-5 and a family. So there's a lot of ways.
I want to answer this question really quickly before we move on to Grace. I know you had a question about podcast movement, but Calming the Chaos says, thank you. I'm a licensed mental health counselor. Whenever I do a live stream, few people show up. That is not uncommon, and we have been there. Everybody has started with one subscriber, and so I would just continue to be consistent. A couple of things that we've done before in the past when I first started, I would have plants. I would, in magic, you have plants in the audience. I would have people sit in.
Like actual plants.
Not plants, ferns. Not a fern. I would actually have people in the audience that I would bring in. Like I'd say, Grace, come to my show on Friday, and can you ask this question? And so I would have people come in and do that. Not ferns, Grace. But
I'm sorry, I'm just picturing you talking to a fern right now.
Which I do, so it makes them grow better. But anyway, don't be discouraged, Calming the Chaos. It goes up and down. Keep being consistent and have those, when you do have somebody on there, make sure you talk to them and answer their question. but it does take time and it gets harder. It's harder than it used to be with all the algorithms, but I would be consistent. What would you say, Colin? Would somebody struggle with that?
I agree. Yeah. I think it's a bit about context as well, as in very few. I wonder how many very few is. Like, even if I went along and did a talk back when I was starting my content and some 10 people turned up in a real room, you'd have 10 actual real people in front of me. That would actually be really cool. But somehow online, 10 doesn't seem like very much. And we have so many podcasters come along and say, I've only got 100 or 200 people listening. But again, like, that's a lot of people. Imagine that many people sitting in front of you, listening to you every single week. So I think there's always a bit about context as well, but I totally think you're right. Like, it is consistency. It's about involving those people in the show so that they have a really good time and motivation to turn up to the next one. So you're building that loyalty every single time. So yeah, something around that.
Yeah. And we will, for Chris Stone brought up, he says, talking to plants next on Social Media is Live. We will do that show, especially for you, Chris. Well, we may only have one viewer, but it'll be you.
I will say, calming the chaos, that one, you always do it for the people, the replay audience. So you do it for the audience that's there. Mm. So you do capture a lot of people that watch the replay, because not everyone can tune in at this time. Something's going on, but they catch the replay. Your Facebook or LinkedIn shows it up later. So that's another audience that you'd be tapping into. And also, I love inviting guests, obviously. Jeff and I have done a show together before. It was lots of fun, but we always have a guest because regardless, you have your guest to talk to.
Mm-hmm. And comment, she goes, I would love 10. I get 2 to 4. Those 2 to 4, those can grow, but treat those 2 to 4 like family, and it makes a huge difference. And so that's great that you have that. I would do the same time every week so they know what time to show up, because the algorithms don't always push it out anymore. But if they know, they'll come looking for you. So congratulations on those 2 to 4. That's a start. A lot of people don't even have that. So continue doing what you're doing. So
Jeff is over here still talking to plants.
Yeah, you know? I talk to plants or to myself. You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever will listen. So,
okay, back to our guest. So at Podcast Movement, Colin, you and I talked quite a bit about planning our show in seasons and that concept of doing a set season and then the next one, and keeping this as a way of keeping content fresh. Do you think this is also something that helps make content compelling and keeps listeners loyal by doing these seasons?
I think actually that's the biggest thing about it. I think I often teach people seasons in the first place because it sort of makes planning so much easier. But the biggest benefits actually for the listener, it's the fact that it's so much more organized and each episode leads into the next. Like, talking to Cam and the Chaos's problem there, like, if you want to try and build like more listeners, more loyal people, you want to try and make them turn up every single week because that's the only way it grows. I remember running a live event years ago where we used to get 5 or 10 people every week, but it was always different 5 or 10 people. So it never grew. Mm-hmm. And we kind of realized that we weren't building enough loyalty around it. And I think that's what seasons helps with so much, because you plan out a season of say 12 episodes. Every episode builds on the previous one. So every time the person turns up for the next episode, they've learned a bit in the previous one, and the next one builds on that. It's advancing the topic. It's something that's pushing them forward, giving them progress. And there's a huge amount of power in that for building habit and loyalty to listen to you every single week. Because the average podcast structure is that you talk about something different every single week. You've got a brand new topic every single week, and it can be a different level, like a beginner subject one week and an advanced subject the next week. It's like, can you imagine if you turned up at college to learn physics, and then, you know, the first lesson was adding up 1 and 2. And then the next lesson was advanced quantum mechanics. And then the next lesson was, you know, like 2 times table. And then it was, I don't know, string theory. But it wouldn't make any sense. It's just not how, you know, you breed success in people who want to get better or advance. So seasons help you by putting it all in the right structure. People follow along, they progress and advance every single episode. And there's a huge power as well in the fact that it's all organized. Like, when people find you 100 episodes in, they look back at your seasons, mm-hmm. And they can actually navigate them so much more easily. They can pick out, you know, season 3, you covered X topic, and they think, oh, that really suits me right now. I'll start at the start of that, listen to those. And it really helps people start to navigate through what you've done already, get into your content, and really get to know you in an easy way.
That is some great advice. In fact, so I wanted to ask you guys in the audience, what we kind of do it subconsciously, like we've done a lot of podcasting before, like we had Janet Murray, and she kind of touched on her podcast last week. And I know Colin and I have spoken at her event before, which is awesome, and I think we met it the first time. But would you like us to do seasons? Like, would you like us to do, okay, we're going to do a month of podcasting. Okay, next we're going to do a month of TikTok. Next we're going to do a month of content creation. Would that be something you guys would want us to do or not? Because we, you know, a lot of times we kind of hit on what the news is, what kind of things are breaking, and then we talk about that. But would seasons be something that you guys would like? Let us know down below in the comments, wherever you're watching. Or do you like the craziness that is our live show, which is kind of random sometimes? So Colin, I want to know, and we kind of asked this a little bit earlier of the audience, but I want to know what you think. Like, what makes someone listen to a podcast? In all your years of experience, what makes a podcast like binge worthy and irresistible?
I mean, not to bang on about it, but I think seasons are a big part of it. So I won't go into it anymore, but I think that does make it binge worthy because they find this like 7-8 episode series, which like you listen to one and you just have to go through them all because they're covering that whole topic. The other way that they make it, I think the other way you can make a podcast irresistible is actually just by being so much more specific about what you help with. I think that's what a lot of podcasts fall down on. Like you're looking through we get this pitch all the time. Like somebody gets in touch and says, right, I'm thinking about starting this podcast. It's going to be life advice, learning from a varied realm of humanity and bringing life advice to improve the way that you live and your wealth, health, and happiness. What do you think? And I'm like, no. Too much. Too much. Like, I don't know who this is for. No one's going to listen because it's so general. The thing that makes a podcast irresistible to me to listen to is if I read it and I think, oh, that's me. That's the exact problem I have. And this person has just described me exactly the problem that I'm having. And they've told me they've got a solution. This is what they're going to teach. This is what they're going to cover. That's what makes me listen irresistibly to a podcast, I think. I mean, what do you think? Does that ring true?
So for absolutely. Me, yeah. So one of my favorite podcasts is Business Wars by Wondery. And they kind of so do the same thing that you're talking about. They're in seasons. Like they're going to be talking about, you know, Netflix versus HBO. And they're going to do X amount of, it's usually 6 to 8 episodes about that. And it's storytelling podcasts and they have that in there. And so I find that irresistible. So like I binge whenever that's why I love road trips is because I love to binge those stories and learn something from there. So I think that, you know, one, it's seasonal because you can skip around. Like if you don't want to know about like, what is it? Lululemon, how they started. Like, I don't care about that, but you know, but I mean, I did, I listened to it just to say, but you know, sometimes those things, you know, you could skip over, but I think it's a great point about those binge worthy things. Or if I want to learn something like the Dealcasters, Chris Stone and Jim Fuse, yep. I am all about learning about how to do Amazon influencing, you know, right now. And I listen and watch their show because they talk about that and they give great advice on that. So that it's very specific because it's something I want to learn. You know, Eric Fisher, our friend, does Beyond the To-Do List, which is all about productivity. If I'm like at the beginning of the year, man, I binge all his podcasts and listen to Todd Henry and John Acuff and all those people over there. So I think you're right on point. And thinking of ways that we can implement that in our own podcast, I think is key. So sorry, I got on my soapbox. What do you think, Grace?
I was going to ask Colin what his favorite podcasts are right now, but that might limit. So I'm going to give him a moment to think about it. So right now, my favorites are like, you know, just I'm trying to slim down my news diet. And so like, I just listen to like NPR's like Today, you know, just what you need to know today, like just one news story. They focus on that. And then the other one that I've been really into is this, it's this group that takes apart, I don't remember the name of it, but they take movies and they're all like therapists and psychologists and they break down all the like mental disorders in just played in this movie. So, oh my gosh, I'm going to get my phone and figure out what the name of this was because like that. Yeah, it's pretty funny. So there you go. Yeah. There's a snapshot into my life. So Jeff is over there wearing Lululemon talking to plants and I'm like, that's diagnosing why
you don't see
characters.
You don't see the full shot here. You know, so.
Colin, what podcasts are you into these days? Like,
I had to just, I got my phone up there just to look at what my last playlist was. And I, I just discovered a couple of months ago a show, a UK show called The Rest is Politics. I'm a bit of a political ignoramus. Like I've never really followed that stuff in my younger years, but I feel like I want to know more about it now. And this show is really good. It's just like I said, as in they describe it as, you know, they cover not everything, not all of the news, but they pick out two or three stories and they go in depth and explain them from the bottom up. So that's the problem they're solving. That's me. Like they explain it for people that don't really know the background. So that totally resonated with me. So that's an example. And a few others. I love Business Wars, like you say, Jeff. Mm-hmm. And Acquired actually is a really nice one. Acquired is a very similar one, but it takes one business and breaks it down over 2 or 3 hours. And similarly, that solves a problem for me in that I saw it and I wanted to learn more about how businesses work, like a strategy behind them, that kind of stuff. Like how did Amazon get to where it is now? And they do that. They break it right down from a kind of strategical point of view. So that really helped me in many ways. So yeah, that's just a few there.
And it's interesting. I think it also that we listen to podcasts based on our mood. Like I listen to, when I go out my walk every day is, because he has a huge backlog of episodes, is Walt Disney World Radio by Lou Mangello, just because I like Disney stuff and it makes me happy listening to it. And, you know, and I know him and he's a friend. And so I like to listen to that. And that's something it just I do every day on my walk. So I think we have different moods. Like do we want to relax? Let's listen to this podcast. Do we want to learn something? We'll listen to this podcast. It's kind of like TV watching anymore. It's like, what are you want to do? What do you want to binge? So very, very interesting. Yeah. All right, so we've got our favorite podcast. We are just going crazy on the show, but go ahead, Grace, for the next question.
Yes, yeah. So Calming the Chaos says that she likes the chaos. I really like Colin's advice, maybe more themes and regularity being more specific. And then Life of Brian has this comment too. He says, I think there's a danger in seasons that if that season doesn't interest the person, they could fall out of habit of watching or listening, and using playlists to create groups of categories might work better. So
I think that would
work. That.
Yeah, I'd love to know what Colin thinks, because I think like on playlists, when you're talking about that, would be like a YouTube thing, but seasons is more for podcasts. What are your thoughts, Colin?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. Yeah, so thanks for popping that in. It's a concern for sure, but I think if you do your research right, you're designing your seasons around the stuff that your audience are asking for. That's what it's all about. Like I often use my season break. So when I finish a season, I'll say, right, that's us done for this season. I hope you've enjoyed it. We're going to come back in 6 weeks. Now get in touch during the season break. Again, being specific, right. Get in touch during the season break and tell me, what are you struggling with around this topic? Now give me your main questions. What are your big questions that you want us to cover on the next season? And then that helps power it and make sure you're covering the right stuff. And you're right. You might find people in your audience that are less interested in particular topics, but if your podcast is focused enough, specific enough, it's found the right audience, I think you'd find it hard to find, you know, a topic that somebody completely doesn't resonate with. And if you are concerned with that, obviously you can keep your seasons relatively short, like just 4 to 6 weeks maybe, and that might alleviate any of those kind of problems.
Awesome. Great advice. Thanks for those questions and comments, everybody.
Keep them coming. We love, yeah. This is a show for our audience as much as it is for right. me and Jeff getting right. free consulting right. on our own podcast.
So yeah, go ahead with the next question. Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of which, let's discuss what happens after the show. So you've booked the time, you've got the stellar guest, you've done the show, hang up the headphones, but there's still notes, transcripts, and the repurposing left to be had. You touched a little bit about this earlier. So I know in product and engineering teams, there's a way of measuring effort over impact, right? So in order to prioritize tasks. And it can take a significant amount of time and energy. I mean, it can to, maybe it doesn't have to edit and publish beautiful show notes. But what is the impact in terms of growing your audience or attracting sponsors? In other words, is there a benefit to having beautiful written recaps and show notes of your podcast? Or is it just like publish, done, repurpose, move on to the next one? How can we justify this time? Because it does take a lot of time to go through.
It does. You're absolutely right. But I do think it's so valuable. I think it's hugely valuable for a couple of reasons. Like it's for your existing listeners, because People love to have someone to review. They love to have someone to go and look at. Like, so many people listening to your show are in the car, walking the dog, going for a run. So you mentioned all this stuff, all this learning. They want to go and put it into action. So they need to be able to get back to the computer and see a summary and skim through it and not have to listen to the whole thing again. So I think it's really important for building that engagement and success with your listeners. But equally, it's for discovery. It's even more for discovery. Like, we all love podcasting, but the one thing it's not brilliant at is being found, you know, like getting out there. But Google is the best for that. Like, that is what it does. People type, every time somebody's got a question, you type it straight into Google. That's where you go. They're rarely going to find a podcast episode by typing in that question, but they'll very commonly find a blog post. So if you can turn your podcast episodes into decent show notes, which actually really resemble a blog post with an audio player in, people find that blog post, they skim through it and go, oh, this is good stuff. They see this player here and go, oh, there's audio, right, play, let's listen. And then that hopefully hooks them in. And that way, you're not even just fighting for existing podcast listeners, you know, their space and their player, but you're finding people that maybe don't even listen to podcasts and converting them into podcast listeners. So that's just a few of the reasons I think it's really important to do the written side of it.
That's awesome, yeah. The discoverability, and we're going to talk about that later, so I want to burn through this next one so we have time, because that's like stuff that's really exciting to me. But we use Descript for our transcriptions and repurposing, you know, and with some extra editing, you know, we have show notes ready to publish. So what tools do you use, Colin, to, you know, like help streamline the process of, you know, creating shows, notes and transcripts and all that stuff?
I don't really use that much. I actually, so I do it in combination. The way I save time with it is I do it in combination with planning the podcast episode. Because when I plan out a podcast episode for Podcraft, for example, we'll create a bullet note, a bullet point plan. I'll then record it with Matthew, and then I'll go and write it straight away. And do you know how much quicker it is to write like 400 or 500 words after you've spoken through the topic? It's so much quicker because you've kind of formulated it in your brain, you've organized it, you've talked it all through, and you can kind of splurge it out onto the page so much easier than just writing a blog post from scratch. So that's how we tend to do it. We do transcripts sometimes for our shows. In fact, no, we're always doing them now, actually. We changed that recently for accessibility reasons, actually. So yeah, we use Rev for that. But it's really that. It's quite simple, actually. Most of it's quite manual.
Awesome. Yeah. So hey, Sabrina says, hi, it's Sabrina. Sabrina's always one of our faithful listeners and watchers. But one of the things you talked about, the ease of doing it, and now it's easier now with like places like Rev, like with Descript, and we actually had those folks on our show from Podcast Movement. So go back a couple of episodes and listen to that if you weren't able to do that, because they had some good insights. There's some cool stuff coming out with Descript. But another great tool is our friends, of course, over at Ecamm at socialmediaslive.com/Ecamm. They actually, when we do this show and it records right to a folder while after I'm done, and the tracks are split up for a podcast. So it's already split up, and with Colin's voice on one track and Grace's on another, and unfortunately mine on another one, but we all can blend it up. It makes it really easy for editing and repurposing, which is what Colin was talking about. So if you haven't checked them out, socialmedianewslive.com/Ecamm. And don't forget their Leap into Podcasting. You can find out a bit more about that at leapintopodcasting.com, talking about video podcasts. We are going to be talking there. All three of us are going to be doing sessions there on Leap into Podcasting. So make sure you guys sign up. That's the end of this month. It's free, but you need to sign up. Go to leapintopodcasting.com. All right. So one of the questions I want to ask our fellow watchers that are watching live, and if you're watching on the replay, make sure to answer that below as well. But how did you find this show, Social Media News Live? I'd love to know, did you follow us over from our previous show? Did you find us just randomly on Facebook or YouTube? Did a friend tell you? I want to know how you guys found this show, because I think it's really, really interesting, because what we're going to be talking about next is super important to me, and I'm always interested in this topic, is podcasting SEO. What does it mean? How does it work? All this stuff. A lot of people at Podcast Movement, Colin, said, you know, all you need is great content. That's all you need. And people will find your podcast. That's the first thing you need. What else can we do? Let's say we think we have a great show, but we're still struggling with discovery. And we talked about that earlier. Yeah. Podcasts is kind of hard to do that. What are some things that we can do to practically improve our SEO for our podcast?
I mean, I think it's, as a, it's down to just general web SEO, actually. Like, is it worth just going into a wee bit of the stuff around, you know, figuring out what keywords people are searching for in your area? Is that relevant to this, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah. I think transcripts, like you said, are huge. And I think that with the tools now, you have to almost do them. Because
Google. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the way I start with it is that I use all the traditional tools. Like, we built the blog first before our podcast. Well, I was podcasting back in the day, but it was our blog that caught the traction first because we started writing about podcasting. And that was really all about using the SEO tools to figure out what people are searching for in our topic. And I think that's a really underused way of figuring out what you should be covering on your podcast. And it leads into your podcast being naturally SEO'd. So it's things like, you know, Google Keyword Tool. Like, if you have a podcast about, well, go back to cars. So you've got a podcast about motoring, cars, that kind of stuff. You type in cars, or you type in some of the sort of basic phrases that you know people cover in your area. And it will give you a whole stream of phrases that are related to that. It will break them down really specifically. Like, it will be, what is the best car under $10,000? Or what is the fastest car? What is the biggest engine in the world? Or, you know, all these questions related to it. Google Keyword Tool is good for that. It tells you the volume. It shows you how many people are searching. So it shows you the most popular ones. And then you've got Answer the Public is a great site. Have either of you come across that?
Yeah, it's fun. I always forget about it, but I've been in playing with it before. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a good tool for figuring out what to cover on your podcast. You type in your topic. So if I type in podcasting, it has all these what questions about podcasting, like what mic should I use? What podcast hosting platform should I use? It has all the how questions, the why questions, the where. It's just a wealth of stuff that you should cover. And the most important thing is that all of these come from searches that people pop into Google or YouTube or any search engine. And therefore, you know that these are well SEO'd. And the next stage, obviously, is to talk through all that topic, answer that topic well, and then have that title so clearly, that phrase so clearly in the title, because that's what people are searching for. Nobody wants to find a podcast which says, like, it's the podcast about cars, and then the first episode is Brian Johnson, and that's it. And then it's Jane Jones, and then it's like, it's just names. There's so many shows like that. They just have a list of names. Nobody cares about the names unless it's somebody super famous. Right. They care about the topic, okay? They care about the question. So that's the main thing. Get the question in there, the problem that you're solving, and put it in the description as well. And that's a big part of it, I think, certainly for the search engines, the audio search engines like Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
I want to bring up this question once again. Comment in Chaos, you've got some great questions and comments. Thank you for doing that today. And she goes, I followed Colin on YouTube, is how she found this show. And that's one of the things I think with podcasting and live video that a lot of people don't think about. When you start interviewing people, you almost share, you start stealing, or I'll say sharing, that sounds better, their audience. Like, Colin probably pushed this to his channel, and so we're going out there live. And so we are being in front of people that we never have been before, and they can either, hopefully they like us, they want to subscribe to our show. The same way with doing interviews with podcasts. I know a lot of podcasters, a way that they grow their podcast is by being on other podcasts. So can you speak a little bit about that, Colin, about, like, you know, sharing audiences in that way?
Yeah, I think I feel like the days of the, you know, the interview tour are less effective these days. Like, if you just turn up on podcasts as a guest, I don't know, it seems to be less effective these days. But something that I think is very effective is actually more of the co-hosted approach. So if you actually go on and you find guests that have really similar audiences, you find you find other hosts who have really similar audiences, and you just set up a co-hosted episode with them and do an episode swap. So you record an episode together. You have an actual conversation rather than an interview. So it's much more engaging, much more chemistry, much more back and forth. And then you post it on both feeds, and maybe even do it more than once. Do it 2, 3, 4 times. You do a little series, a season, go back to that. Right. I find that much more effective these days, actually, because it just feels more authentic. It feels like you're passing a bit more trust doing it that way, rather than just popping in as a guest just once in a while. So I like that technique a lot.
Yeah, and I know some big shows, and I'll mention Business Wars again. They'll have like episodes from their network come into their show. That's kind of in the same business things. Like you'll see in your feed, all of a sudden, like, hey, we're doing this new show about, you know, this mystery or this murder that happened, and you know, do you want, you know, it gives you a chance to jump over to another thing in their network, which I think is kind of similar to what you're talking about, where you can have somebody who's similar and bring in on different feeds. So.
Yeah. It's funny, actually. I had a friend get in touch with me recently and say, when did podcasts become just places to advertise other podcasts? I think there has been a bit of a switch there, hasn't there? It used to always be mattress adverts and things like that. And nowadays it's always podcast adverts, which is cool. I think because it's more relevant, isn't it? Like you want to find other podcasts to listen to. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially when you're off your season, you want some off-season podcasts.
Right.
So.
Right.
Indeed. Indeed.
Okay. So as of July 2022, and I think this will remain the same for August, if I'm not mistaken, but Apple Podcasts still holds the number one spot with almost 38% of all podcast listeners, which accounted for 44.5 million podcast downloads. Spotify holds the number two position at about 27% of podcast listeners, and that was at 32 million downloads, and then other podcasting platforms, each one individually was less than 2% of all the audience. But altogether, we're talking about 62% of podcast listeners are not on Apple Podcasts, right? So, but the Apple's still the top one. But knowing this, is Apple still where we need to concentrate our efforts as far as, you know, when you're asking for those ratings and reviews and where we're sending people? And what about Spotify and these other directories? So help us figure that out too, because I know that that's a conundrum.
I think Apple is a funny one because it's still like the kind of, even though it's been shrinking in terms of market share, Spotify is absolutely catching up with it. In some numbers, it's overtaken it by a fair bit, hasn't it? Depends where you look, really. But it still has that authority as a place where you can often check, you know, so for social proof, I suppose, around a show. It's where I feel the best reviews are, the most effective reviews are, possibly because people are still sending people there most often. But I still find it's worth concentrating a bit of your effort at least there. But I mean, it's certainly, it depends a bit on the topic as well. I know Spotify does better with certain areas, certain categories. So I think you could do those two, and you don't need to worry about the others, do you? Like Google Podcasts kind of takes care of itself. Amazon Podcasts was kind of starting to grow, but isn't doing so well. So as long as you're in Apple Podcasts, then you get picked up by all the players. Mm-hmm. You're in Pocket Cast, you're in Overcast, all that kind of stuff. Then the rest kind of takes care of itself. And then you're maybe going into those specific tactics like you were talking about Amazon Alexa earlier on and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a long time before Apple is something that we don't have to do a lot of work on, Apple Podcasts, I mean, and make sure we're definitely looking good there in terms of reviews and ratings.
So I want to ask the question because I went to Libsyn's session. It was, and I think he's done the same one a couple of years, but he was pretty much saying ratings and reviews don't matter. What can we do, to improve our ranking in Apple Podcasts and Spotify, you know, cause it seems like, you know, the big top spots are these big deal podcasters. It's been a land rush. I noticed at Podcast Movement, there's a lot of big networks. I mean, I was in the elevator with like Fox Broadcasting, and you know, they're buying all these podcasts, and it's this huge industry now. How do we as independent podcasters, you know, increase our ratings and rankings on these big places like Spotify and Apple Podcasts?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think ratings, so there's a lot of reason behind what Rob says around ratings and reviews. Like, it's people overplay it. They say it matters more than it does. And it's not as important as a lot of people think. But the reason I think it is important is because it's that social proof that I was talking about a second ago. People are more likely to subscribe if they see, you know, 20, 30, 40 reviews. So it's still worth getting them. But I think actually us independent podcasters, I think you're absolutely right. It's hard to compete in the Apple charts, for example, because it's such a small space. Mm-hmm. Like they only show the top 10, 20 max. Can't even say, it's probably not even that many. I think that's why we're we should be concentrating elsewhere. We should be concentrating on the text side of things for a start. So the show notes make a big difference. Being able to be found on Google, because it's a really specific, that's where people are asking their questions. So if you're answering very specific topics, again, get those text resources on there so people find you that way. But then again, it's other places like communities, actually, like being where your listeners are hanging out. Like, find out where your listeners hang out and get involved there. The advantage we have as podcasters is that one podcast listener is worth 100 blog readers. It's worth 100 video watchers, you know, in terms of the interaction, the engagement, the trust that podcasting builds. So we can do things that are less scalable. Like, it wouldn't be worth me going to a networking event of 10 people and try to recruit some blog readers, because like barely any of them will do anything. They'll maybe go and have a quick skim and they won't really do anything. But if I can recruit like a couple of podcast listeners, because of the trust that you build in a podcast, because of how much people get to know you and trust you and become loyal listeners, and then promote you for them and take part in your products and do the things you ask them to do, it's worthwhile, like doing those smaller, less scalable things, I think. So I think people should worry less about the, you know, the new noteworthy and the Apple charts, and think about getting out there where their potential listeners live. Not live, don't go to their houses, but where they hang out and find them and really engage with them that way. And the extra bonus there as well is that you find out what they're asking for. You ask them questions and you get so much powerful content ideas that way too.
That's great advice. So I'm going to have to, we're probably going to not go to the next section and have Colin back sometime where he can talk just on podcast monetization, because we are running short on time. But I do want to ask you, because it kind of has to do with it a little bit, Colin, is, you know, what is considered success in podcasting? Is it downloads? Is it sponsorships? Is it, you know, making, you know, money with your podcast? So, you know, why does these metrics matter? So what would you say when somebody's like, what do I... If a company comes to you like, I'm thinking about starting a podcast, Colin, but I don't know how to, you know, track if it's going to be worth my time or effort and all that kind of stuff, what do you tell them?
Yeah, I think this doesn't sound like a cop-out answer, but I think that is so personal to the person that's getting involved. Like a company, it might be directly, success for us is we're going to sell 10 products in the next month. But we have so many people that we work with where it's success is actually, I'm going to get to talk to these 10 people in my industry because I have an excuse to ask them for my because of my podcast, or I'm going to connect with 20 new people that have the same mental health issue as I have and help them in some way. Like, that can be success for the person as well. There's so many different ways that, you know, people can find success in podcast. It's such a cool thing about podcasting that you can reach people, you can connect with people, you can change people's lives through the words that you put out there into the world. So success could be monetary, but it can be entirely different. It can just be something that you find that moves you and changes somebody else.
That is great. So Colin, I want to ask one question as the last one, hopefully, but I know I'll let Grace ask one because I hog the time. But what, when you first start out podcasting, what are some reasonable goals that we should set for ourselves? Like, we started this podcast, we committed, we're going to do it, you know, and but what goal should we set? Like,
Great question. I often the goal that I tell people that come to us first couple of months, the goal is just literally do it once a week for 8 weeks and that is it. Get 8 episodes out there into the world. Do 2 months worth of podcasting. That is a goal. Another goal might be actually just do it as if you're going live. Like, I love that as a goal for it. So do your 8 weeks, but actually don't do any editing. Like, literally just put it raw out there into the world. Because do you know what? If you commit to that, you improve your speaking style fast because you know that you can't use editing as a crutch. So you listen to the first episode and you're like, there's so many uhs and ahs and and you hear all these crutch words that you say that you never noticed you say before. Like, basically, I always say, so basically you do this and then basically you do that. I'm like, oh, it's driving me crazy. But you hear them and you stop doing them because you're not allowed to edit them out. That can be a goal in itself, like just improving your speaking style, which can help professionally, like if you're in meetings or doing real presentations in front of hundreds of people, or it can be just personally, like just literally speaking to people at a party or in a group or something. Podcasting can be for that as well. So that's generally the goals I set. Like, rarely do we set numerical goals around, you know, listenership. Because you can, I honestly don't think you can put any kind of reasonable goals around listenership unless you've launched 20 shows in the past and you're a kind of factory of a production company. So it's got to be around something related, like improving your skills, meeting these certain people, and that kind of stuff. So does that help?
Yes, that's great. And in fact, it helps so much. We have a comment from Commonly Chaos says, I will take the live stream challenge. So she's going to do the live challenge. Yes. So, and make sure you guys, if you're not following Colin, that you guys go do that. We are at the end of our time. Grace, did you have one question before?
I want to know where people can find Colin because he's got his YouTube channel. He's got all the places. So Colin, tell us where everyone can come find you and sign up for and find out more about Alitu. And am I saying that correctly? How do you, say it so beautifully in the demo.
I say Alitu, but everyone in the US says Alitu, which I like as well. Like, so I'm happy with either. But yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, you can, if anybody wants to give Alitu a try, they can see a demo of it over at alitu.com. It's spelled A-L-I-T-U.com. And all of our podcasting guides are at that link right there, thepodcasthost.com. And yeah, you mentioned YouTube, actually. I'm trying to grow the YouTube channel. I really enjoy making video as well as the podcast. So yeah, if you want to nip over there, it's over at, I think it's under, I should have a short link for this, shouldn't I? It's / Colin MC Gray, I believe, on YouTube, youtube.com/ Colin MC Gray.
Do you have
you
a link?
You can probably search the podcast.
I found it on YouTube by looking up Colin Gray and then podcast host.
Yeah.
And it popped right up. So
do you have links to your socials on your thepodcasthost.com where they could jump over from there?
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, if they go to thepodcasthost.com, it's all in the footer, all the socials. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, go check that out. So thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you for Grace Duffy, who puts together such a great show. She's amazing. That's one thing, you know, we have played around with letting you guys have super secret access to her show notes. All of our guests always rave about how Grace puts them together. So if you would like, we're trying to figure out how to do that, but, you know, if you would like access to Grace's notes, let us know in the comments, because I think they're valuable to me and to our guests. So we may figure out a way to get those to you.
Maybe we should publish the notes after the show when it looks like, stalker notes or whatever between you and I.
Just we're always typing in there. Yes. Stop it.
Give leave this Grace.
Yes. Yes.
Stop typing Grace.
Oh, Gary came up with a great thing. He says Grace Notes. That's a great name. Oh, Gary. That is great. So, and he says, I will have to watch this recording again for this episode. Yes, I will too, Gary, because it's a lot of great stuff in there. Thank you guys so much for watching, for all your great questions, calming the chaos. Thank you for your questions. Robert, we didn't get to your comment. I'm sorry, but all of you guys who watch us every week, we are so appreciative of you. We would not be able to do the show without you or our sponsor at Ecamm. So make sure you go check them out at socialmedialive.com/Ecamm. And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Social Media News Live.